Cloudy skies and 36 degrees in Atlantic at 7:06. We look forward to be partly cloudy and windy today with a high of 51. Winds northwest at 15 to 30 miles per hour. A wind advisory is in effect from 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. forecast, and most of the area counties in our listing area. A red flag warning will be in effect from noon today until 7 p.m. for Fremont and Page counties. That is for high winds and relative low humidity, which can cause any fires that develop to grow quickly and spread rapidly. Outdoor burning in those areas should be postponed. The Atlantic School Board Wednesday evening approved the fiscal year 2020-21 annual certified budget. Their action came after a public hearing during which there were no written or spoken comments. The budget, which will be submitted to the state prior to April 15th, calls for a tax rate of $14.22 per $1,000 of taxable assessed value as compared to $14.72 per $1,000 for the current school year. In other action, the board passed a resolution levying a tax for FY 2020-21 for the future optional redemption of the General Obligation School Bonds, Series 2019. The amount of $195,000 will come from the Debt Service Fund and is designed to reduce the amount of interest the district pays on those bonds. They also approved four change orders or proposal requests for the Athletic Facilities Project and a pandemic pay resolution that allows district employees to continue to receive their regular and customary pay through April 30th. In their discussion items, the Atlantic School Board heard a district athletic facilities update from construction coordinator Bob Sweeney, Snyder & Associates engineers Dave Sturm, and FRK Architects Primary Tom Woolen. Sweeney told the board the construction continues to move forward at both the Trojan Bowl and the baseball and softball complex. Crews have done a very nice job, he said, of rotating locations to avoid having too many people at any one site or location per the social distancing rules. And he said the facilities committee has raised a little more than $600,000 needed to pay for the synthetic turf at the Trojan Bowl.
Again, special thanks to Rolling Hills Bank and Trust for their $50,000 pledge to kickstart our fundraising efforts, Atlantic Bottling for their matching grant of $100,000. For the challenge, it ended March 31st. We raised $135,000 and met Atlantic Bottling's matching grant. Current fundraising is at $326,000. I think we actually had some come in today, and that includes 80 individuals slash businesses that have contributed to that. Special thanks to all those parties.
And Superintendent Steve Barber said the district is on track to engage in its voluntary continuous learning plan on Monday, April 13th. The district website has a section specifically marked for COVID-19 learning on the front of its homepage. Inside the section is the link to online learning opportunities and resources.
We sent out a survey on accessibility, so a lot of our elementary kids. We will be providing packets, which will be going out Friday in the mail. Mr. Rasmussen worked with trying to get some kids some devices. In fact, I think yesterday they handed out 76 computers. We've created some internet accessibility in our parking lots. Our teachers are required to collaborate in teams and continue to update the enrichment opportunities on this site, as well as continue to get packets out. And then they have some requirements in regards to engaging with the students, whether it's a small group, whether it's individually, and so forth.
Yeah, there will also be a Department of Education and AEA resources.
This will just be continually updated throughout the closure until we get to some normalcy down the road here.
In other news, the National Weather Service says flooding remains a concern in several states along the Missouri River, even though the weather has been kind so far this spring. The agency said the flood risk is high in eastern South Dakota, eastern North Dakota, eastern Nebraska, western Iowa, eastern Kansas, and Missouri because the soil remains wet. However, a lack of rain and the warm temperatures this spring have allowed the snow to melt gradually across the plains without increasing the risk. Officials have trimmed their forecast for how much water will flow down the Missouri River in 2020, but it is still expected to be a wet year. The Cass County Sheriff's Office yesterday said that around 4:50 a.m. on April 3rd, deputies responded to a report of a single vehicle accident on I-80 eastbound. Officials said a 2004 Chevy Trailblazer driven by 27-year-old Robin Elizabeth Santee of Audubon was eastbound on I-80 when the vehicle went out of control on the icy roadway and spun into a cable barrier. There were no injuries reported. Damage amounted to $5,500 altogether. As we previously reported here on KJAN, a couple hours later on the same day, deputies responded to a single vehicle accident on Lansing Road. A 2005 Chevy Colorado owned and driven by 44-year-old Jennifer Lee Brisky of Cumberland was westbound on Lansing when that vehicle went out of control on the icy road, entered a north ditch, and rolled onto its top. Brisky was transported to the Cass County Memorial Hospital by medevac. Damage was estimated at $5,000. There were no citations issued. In an update to our earlier story, on March the 30th at around 4:45 p.m., Cass County deputies responded to a report of an accident involving two ATVs on Golden Road. Authorities say 14-year-old Chase Allen Vogel of Atlantic was northbound riding a 2000 Honda Rancher ATV when a 2002 Honda Foreman ATV ridden by 15-year-old Jacob Matthew Halpert of Atlantic lost control and struck the back of Vogel's ATV. A passenger on one of the ATVs, 15-year-old Kyra Pearl Chase, was transported to the Cass County Hospital by medevac. Damage to the vehicles was estimated at $1,500 altogether. There were no citations issued. And the Sheriff's Department says on April 2nd, deputies arrested 30-year-old Kevin Boyd Cantor of Atlantic on charges of OWI third offense, a Class D felony, and possession of drug paraphernalia, a simple misdemeanor. Cantor was taken to the Cass County Jail and released the next day on his own recognizance. The Union County Sheriff's Office yesterday said there were two incidents of theft. At around 9:30 a.m. Wednesday, a man from Lorimore reported that sometime after 10 p.m. Monday, someone took a car trailer, a new axle, winch, and toolbox owned by Scott McKibben of Peru. While the trailer was parked in Lorimore, the items were valued at $5,000 altogether. And a Creston man reported Tuesday evening that his credit card statement had a charge he didn't make, amounting to nearly $506. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning, Ernie Spiker, age 89, of Malvern, died Tuesday at his home. A visitation for Ernie Spiker will be held from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Friday at the Lus Hills Funeral Home in Malvern. After state and federal restrictions have been lifted due to COVID-19, the family will hold a celebration of life to honor Ernie. Carla Jo James, age 57, of Glidden and formerly of Exira, died Tuesday. A private family funeral service will be held at the Sharp Funeral Home in Carroll for Carla Jo James on Monday, April 13th. A live stream broadcast and recording of the service can be found by visiting the Sharp Funeral Home Carroll YouTube channel on the link provided in this same announcement on the KJAN obituary page. An icon for live streaming will be available on the funeral home's page just before 11 a.m. on Monday. Gwendotta Dolch, age 95, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. A graveside service for Gwendotta Dolch will be held with the family only present at the Atlantic Cemetery. Roland Funeral Service has the arrangements. Donald Booman, age 90, of Harlan, died Sunday at Elmcrest Retirement Community. A memorial mass for Donald Booman will be held at a later date with the Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Harlan in charge of arrangements. And Judith Carol Nissen, age 84, of Harlan, died Monday at the Elmcrest Assisted Living Facility in Harlan. Services for Judith Nissen will be held at a later date. The Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. And that's a check of our news and funeral announcements on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.